consumer electronics, clothing, even food aren't that big of contributors to your overall environmental impact. Instead, it's things like transportation and more so heating and cooling your home that consume the most electricity and emit the most. And that brings us back to Rob, the fellow we spoke to earlier. Buildings are what he looks at. He's been working with students to put together one of the most comprehensive, most detailed building-specific life cycle assessment databases in the world, and it's right here on campus. A couple years ago, he did a life cycle assessment on the CSRS building. This was the building that environmentalists like David Suzuki touted as the greenest building in North America.
You know, CSRS is a great example of a building that's a cultural changer because people get into that building, there's all sorts of stuff to learn about how the building runs, and there's all sorts of opportunities to become educated. I think at this stage, we really need to start addressing the bigger rocks in the pond. Big projects like big infrastructure projects and energy projects, buildings, you know, roadways, traffic, cars, fuel, a lot of money goes into those things. There's a lot of regulations that already sit around those areas, and so there's a lot of potential to slip in LCA.
By addressing the largest of society's emitters, we can coordinate large-scale reductions easily. And it doesn't have to cost us that much either. Often, investments in good insulation and heating systems pay themselves off in just a couple years with the energy that they save. Another application of life cycle assessment aims to incorporate local social impacts. Those are your economic indexes of inequality, minimum wages, etc.
We understand these chemicals and how they react, and that's why LCA is very focused on these very literal emissions, whereas it's quite a bit more complex to understand the fallout of underpaying people in a certain area.
Nevertheless, that's exactly what Walmart's new sustainability consortium intends to do, incorporate those social impacts. So where does this leave the rest of us? The US EPA hosts a database that we can use for comparison of particular products and materials. And Chris, he's working on a second application which might be able to scan the barcode of a product, query a life cycle assessment database, and give you its exact associated emissions. But until then, we should use its data in our classrooms and in political conversations on our energy future and climate change. Today, though, if you've listened to this through Wi-Fi on your laptop, you've probably used 320 joules of electricity. If you've listened to it via your phone's data plan, it's probably quite a bit more, closer to 1140 joules. And that's discounting the rest of the life cycle, its production, extraction, etc., and its associated emissions. But it's a start. For LFS 400, this is Tyler Hawkins. Thank you.
You have been listening to stories produced by students in LFS 400, an audio storytelling class in the UBC Faculty of Land and Food Systems. To hear these stories and many others, go to soundcloud.com/LFSLC. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, everybody. You are tuned in right now to CITR 101.9, a very special day here at the station. It is, as you may have heard on the last podcast, 24 hours of student power, which basically will be 24 hours of students talking about their organizations that they're involved with at UBC, students playing music that they like, and just hanging out at CITR for 24 hours straight. So if you are just joining us now, I hope that you will stay tuned in and hear about all of the awesome stuff that we have lined up for today. My name is Eleanor. I host the Student Special Hour, which is on Tuesdays, and I will be interviewing a few people for the next hour here. So before we get going with the special guests that I have in the station to start off, or I guess continue with student power, the track that you just listened to was by a band called Gal Grayson off of their album Blue Hearts in Exile, and that track was called Infinity. The actual name is the infinity, the little infinity sign, so I don't know, but Infinity. Good track. Great local band. So, moving forward here, I am joined today by two very special guests from the UBC Dollar Project, Narissa and Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, yeah. You guys excited to be kicking off the in-studio student power?
Yeah, yeah.
So why don't we just begin? I don't really know very much about it. If you guys could just give our listeners a little bit of a background on what sure. the UBC Dollar Project is.
UBC Dollar Project is a charity club nice. That focuses on eliminating apathy regarding global issues. And the global issues can range anywhere from medical to music. And this year we're supporting the Ghana School Project, which is actually founded by a professor at UBC, Dr. Bologna.
Cool.
I believe he works at the music department. And what he does is he created his own charity in Ghana. I think I just mentioned it's called Ghana School Project. And what he does is he empowers the community in Ghana by providing them with musical instruments and musical education.
Wow.
He also, it's not only for music, it's for computer education as well.
Cool.
And what we do is we support him by spreading awareness, of course, and having fundraisers of all sorts. So we support him through fundraising events, so financially and through spreading awareness as well. And we're hoping to, I don't know, like maybe even send some volunteers abroad to Ghana.
Wow.
That's one of our projects that we're doing differently this year.
Cool.
And the way we the way we select these charities is having our key event called the briefing.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we invite 5 to 6 charities per year and into like a lecture hall, and we invite around like 200 to 300 students into the lecture hall, and basically the charities get to present their charities, and they give the audience a reason to vote for them.
Nice.
And if they get all the votes, then they win.
Nice.
They become the winner of the briefing, and then they win $500 on spot, and then we support them throughout the next fiscal year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like we're doing with that kind of school project.
Cool. And I guess it'd be still a good opportunity for the other charities that don't win to kind of get a bit more exposure.
Yeah, of course.
Nice. How do you guys decide which... Like, how many, I think you may have said this, how many charities present at one of the briefings?
Around 5 to 6.
5 to 6, and how do you choose those ones?
That's up to us for the Dollar Project to choose.
Cool.
And we usually start off with around, like, 15 charities, and mm-hmm. we kind of narrow it down, seeing, like, we make the judgment of what the most important global issues that we should target.
Nice.
And from there, yeah, we let the audience kind of decide.
Yeah, that's a really fantastic way of choosing, because obviously I feel like there'd be no, when you go look for charities, there's obviously no shortage of amazing ones, like even just ones that exist at UBC.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like every year I hear about more and more. So it can be hard sometimes deciding who to support because we are students and we don't have that much excess money. How many people are involved in the core decision-making process of the UBC Dollar Project? Like, is there a large group of students or...
Oh, you mean like the exec group?
Yeah.
there's around 30
oh, wow.
executives.
Okay.
And among them, there's around 11 core execs.
Core, okay.
Yeah.
Dan is the co-president of the Dollar Project. And how often do you guys meet?
We try to meet once a week, core execs at least.
Yeah, yeah. It can be hard sometimes.
It's definitely hard to coordinate a meeting with 30 people.
That many people, yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, because everybody's always has different things going on. Mm-hmm. Well, that's really awesome. And how long has the Dollar Project been going on at UBC?
I think it started in 2007.
Oh,
I
nice.
Believe.
Okay, yeah. So it's got a little history going on. How long have you been involved?
I've been involved for 3 years.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So it must be kind of it's kind of nice to see the organization progress a little bit.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
It changes
actually,
every year.
There's been ups and downs.
I've. Do you guys get support from any specific faculty or like?
No. This is just completely us.
Completely student run.
Yeah.
That's awesome, and also a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's really good. So, the conference that you mentioned is called The Briefing.
Yep.
And I think you guys wanted to go into a little bit more detail. So Narissa is one of the co-directors of the conference, correct? Yeah, so do you want to give us some more info about that?
For sure. So this year we're actually we're concentrating on grassroots organizations. So we've contacted a lot of Vancouver-based charities as opposed to going Canada-wide or worldwide.
Nice.
We found some great charities that we've contacted already, some of which concentrate on child abuse, others which concentrate on like homelessness in Vancouver, because mm-hmm. I know that's a really big issue, especially if you go to East Hastings, you'll know what it's all about.
Yeah.
This year, the conference is going to take place on February 28th.
Nice.
And we're hoping to change up the format a little bit. Perhaps instead of having six charities have presentations, we might cut it down to four,
mm-hmm.
just so that people don't get bored. And, you know, maybe put in a keynote speaker.
Nice.
In the beginning. And yeah, just like have a few performances in between.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
Have lots of food.
Yeah.
Just so that we get
breaks.
More students out because free food.
Yeah, of course.
They definitely show up.
Yes.
So,
that is
yeah.
very true. Very, very true. That's awesome. So, at what point before the conference do you guys release the list or like the announce the charities?
Well, hopefully we're contacting them right now, so we'll know by the end of December and
cool.
be able to release it in the beginning of January.
Cool.
We have a teaser poster coming out this week, so
nice.
Hopefully you can look at that.
Yeah, for sure. Are you guys on Facebook?
We are, yes.
Awesome.
And I'm trying to up our Facebook page because it's been a little dead.
For sure. So what's the, is it just like the, if people just search UBC Dollar Project?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
It should show up.
Cool. Yeah. Well, no, that conference sounds really fantastic and it's free to attend,
it's completely
right?
free.
Awesome.
Yes.
And then at the end, everybody just votes kind
yeah.
of.
And we even have, like, usually we have raffle tickets, so...
Oh, cool.
We just try to get as many students to come out as possible.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
You can win prizes if you come to the conference.
Nice, yeah. Nice. It sounds really awesome. It sounds like a good way to just hear, a condensed version of what a charity is about, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's a lot... I think it's a different experience watching people who obviously care about it kind of present it in front of you rather than reading about it online or
yeah,
something
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
A little bit more personable when it's
mm-hmm.
in person.
Yeah, people have to keep in mind that, you know, a lot of UBC students always want to make changes
mm-hmm.
on the campus. Like, they want to have a global impact, and this is a real good opportunity for the students to actually... This is a really empowering way
yeah,
for the
for
students
sure.
Because, you know, they can actually choose the charities that we're going to support.
Yeah.
And, we're hoping to make a really big impact for Dollar Ghana School Project this year.
Yeah.
We're bringing back our founding idea of the Dollar Project,
okay.
which is based on the idea of dollar dollar, the power of dollar. So right. basically collective action.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, dollar, what's a dollar to somebody, right? You can barely buy anything with it these days.
Yeah.
Right? But with, you know, there's 50,000 students at UBC.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone just donates $1 towards the charity that we're supporting, that's, what, $50,000, right?
That's impressive.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, yeah, so that's what we're hoping to do for Ghana School Project this year.
Nice.
You know, bring back the dollar days. Hopefully, you know, obviously $50,000 is a little out of reach.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to make some sort of goal.
Yeah.
You never know what people, like, sometimes I think you get people surprise you, but yeah, it would be, it would be a lot of money to raise.
I don't know if you've heard, but have you heard of the UBC 50K?
No, I haven't.
Actually, UBC Dollar Project with FSA, mm-hmm. Filipino Student Association, SUS, Global Lounge, nice. We've all collaborated together to fundraise for those affected by Typhoon Haiyan.
Right, in the Philippines. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I think, yes, I have. Yeah. I have walked past some people on campus advertising for that, but I was late for my class, so I had to go back really fast.
Yeah, yeah. So what we did, basically, it's Dollar Days. Mm-hmm. The idea originated from Dollar Days, and, you know, Dollar Project has been, like, the core because it's our event,
mm-hmm.
and we've been coordinating this event, and what we did was... we kind of put our own spin to it, I guess. It's a do-it-yourself campaign.
Nice.
You know, you make your own containers at home, you register it online, bring it to your lectures, cool. present it, and, you know, collect loonies.
It really gives, it sounds like it really, it's very hands-on.
Yeah, 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 really yeah, get
to, which is awesome, because like yeah. you said, a lot of people want to make a difference, or there's so many opportunities to do that at UBC, I think, and so many different outlets for it, but right. sometimes it becomes a little overwhelming, or you don't know which one to choose, or like maybe where your money is going for sure.
Right.
So, no, it sounds like a really great way to, I feel like you're making a difference and actually make a difference. Mm-hmm. What, if you don't mind, like sure. how exactly does Dollar Days work?
Dollar Days was 2007. So, you know, around 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What they actually did was, I don't think they're allowed to do that anymore, but they just went around asking for dollars for two people, nice. Saying like, oh, this is for a charity, it's for a good cause.
Right.
If you just donate $1, we could make $50,000.
For sure.
But I think that's panhandling.
Maybe so, a little bit.
Yeah, so I think they stopped for a little while, but, you know, what we have to do is, you know, we usually have to give them something in return, so like mm-hmm. a small piece of candy or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, that's basically, it's really, idea is really simple. That's mm-hmm. why, I forgot to mention, there's a faculty member, his name is Alden.
Mm-hmm.
Alden. He's a director of intercultural understanding at UBC.
Cool.
And he's the one who contacted us for the UBC 50K because he's friends with one of our past presidents.
Oh, nice.
And, he really thought Dollar Days was a great idea to actually, fundraise for the Typhoon Haiyan, because the idea is so simple.
Yeah, exactly.
$1, you know, $50,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty, yeah, I think, yeah, that's another thing is I often or sometimes feel, you feel like whatever contribution you're making is so small that it doesn't matter, but it's like this idea that if you get everybody to do it, right, you
yeah,
know?
Right.
And it's funny because I've heard people kind of describe it a little bit the same with certain music, like downloads now, you know, because of the way it's so easy for us to get music for free illegally. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like you think like, oh, like I'm not going to spend $10 on this album, you know, I can get it for free, but then you're willing to go spend like $6 on your coffee
right.
every morning or something like that, that just you accept and you understand that that's how expensive it is, you know, and then it's like, well, for however many more, like $4 more, you can get something that like people put so much time into making, but you just don't associate it with something that should cost that much. That's just what it makes me think
it's
of,
true,
you know, it's
true.
Like, it's you're reality. So, yeah, you're so ready to like spend however much on like, you know, going out to the bar and buying a pitcher of beer, but then it's like
$15.
Yeah, you know, and because you accept that that's how much beer costs or that's how much like you're fancy coffee drink that gets you exactly. through your classes yeah. costs, but and you'll pay that much for that, but then someone asks you to donate like a dollar, it's nothing, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it seems like a lot of it seems weird, or it seems like a lot of money, but it really it shouldn't.
Yeah, it could definitely make a huge impact.
If, yeah,
enough people donate a dollar. It'd be surprising.
Perfect. Yeah,
I think especially in the Philippines, a dollar goes a long way. Mm-hmm. So.
And people, yeah, I think the idea you guys are talking about with the collective action is really
that's our motto.
Awesome. So
yeah,
that's really fantastic. All right. Well, I don't know if I have any, I think we've touched on most of the things that I can think of. Yeah. What would you say to somebody who would be interested in getting involved with the Dollar Project or the conference? Like, do you need volunteers for that?
Of course. So we're going to be hiring volunteers, especially for the day off.
Nice.
We've already hired our coordinators, so we have a committee for the conference, but we do need volunteers
definitely,
for the day off. So
definitely.
Maybe in January, closer to the conference, look out on our Facebook page. We have a Twitter page.
Cool. What's the Twitter handle?
It's at UBCDP, I think.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. At UBCDP, if you want to find these guys on Twitter.
Yeah.
And just by attending the briefing, that'd be a great help. As
yeah,
well.
For sure. For yeah. sure. Well, I mean, it's like free, like I said, free food, raffle prizes. You get to learn about charities. Like, I don't see why. Is it usually on a weekend or?
It's on Friday. So okay. It's going to be on a Friday. Yeah.
Cool.
Just so that. You know, you can come just like attend the conference and then go party afterwards if you want
to. Yeah, definitely. Do you guys have any like faculty attend or anything usually, or
not specifically?
Cool.
We're open to anybody.
Anybody who wants to come.
Not just students come. You know, sometimes
community members.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. People
for sure.
who've heard about Dollar Project in the past as well. They come and you know get some free food.
Yeah. So what about students who want to just get involved with the Dollar Project in general?
Dollar Project in general.
Do you guys have like elections for your core executive every year?
We do. It's in March.
Okay.
Yeah. But to become a core executive, then you have to be already an executive in the past.
Okay.
So you can't just join
in. Jump in there.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're super keen,
work
your way up. That's fair.
Yeah. But then if you want to just become an executive, then you know you could definitely apply, get interviewed next year.
Nice. Yeah, no. Sounds like an awesome way to get a little bit more out of your time here at UBC.
Yeah. We do just more than, you know, just for those who want to join us. Not just fundraisers. We have a lot of fun events, too.
Nice.
Not just an incentive. We have,
we're going to be having clubbing in January.
Oh, cool.
Come, you know, donate some money to the Ghana School Project and have some fun.
Nice. That's awesome. Any other like events that you do on campus or anything?
We recently just had a Christmas party.
Nice. Those are the best.
Kenneth Chang, he's our other co-president. He did a great job organizing it. It was really fun. It was free food as well.
it's the common denominator in events hosted for students because, just like free food. Okay, I'm there. Like, awesome.
And if people want to, you know, there's a lot of new students, like maybe transfer students or like first year students who want to be involved in a community.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Make friends. Be involved, you know. Dollar Project is a great place to start.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah,
that's
for
where
sure.
I found one of my communities.
Yeah, it's a very important part, I think, to making your experience at UBC like your own. You know, because it is so big and it can feel kind of overwhelming. I know I felt that way in the past. So you find something that you care about and you want to put your time into, then that's really awesome.
Yeah.
And why not make it something that's doing good in the world, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no. So if you guys are at home and you want to know more about the Dollar Project, you can look them up on Facebook. Just search UBC Dollar Project. We said they have Twitter. It's at UBCDP. And you guys also have a website.
Yeah, dollarproject.ca.
Awesome.
Sorry, I forgot to mention that.
No worries. I'm sure everybody is Google competent as well. If you can't find the specific website, just search it in. What did we do before Google? I don't know.
Bing?
Was it? I think there's like the same thing. I think, isn't Bing?
Oh, no, it was Yahoo and Google, wasn't
Yahoo,
it?
Yahoo, yeah. Oh, poor Yahoo. Maybe. I don't know. I don't. It's probably.
Well, I think
the
Google
same.
Bought out Yahoo. So
of course they did. Well, yeah. Maybe not poor. Whoever made it is probably very rich.
Everybody's buying. Everybody.
All right. So Narissa's not going to go anywhere. She's going to hang tight for the next half of the hour. And we're going to talk about some other awesome groups here at UBC. But yeah. So thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. We are going to get to some a bit more music now. This next track that we're going to play is another local Vancouver band by the name of Hooves, and this track is called Holy War. Enjoy.
Thank you. Big Joy is a music festival that in its inaugural year will be showcasing current experimental acts in Vancouver. We're presenting 4 shows over 3 days, December 5th through the 7th. Presenting a broad spectrum of Vancouver's weirdo music scene, Big Joy will encompass everything from drone and harsh noise through to ambient and electronica. Tickets are available at your local record store.
Hi there, boys and girls. Things at Shindig 2013 are really heating up now that so many bands have been
eliminated.
Be sure to come down to the Railway Club Tuesday nights until the final showdown on December 10th. First place gets the high honor of being sacrificed on Grouse Mountain
to Satan, God of Darkness.
Plus, there's jokes for beer and all the shit talking of Ben Lye that you can handle. That's every Tuesday now until December 10th. See you there.
Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here.
Let's get it on. It's your club. Let's get it on.
All right, and we are back. You are listening right now to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. 24 hours of student power. Just getting started here this morning. It's about 9:38. My name is Eleanor. I am your host for this hour of student power. I'm joined by Narissa, who is was just here talking with us about the UBC Dollar Project, but she's also involved in 2 other organizations. I'm sure you're a very busy individual. we also have another couple guests that have joined us to talk about UBC's Intercultural Alliance, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk about the Pakistan Student Association that Narissa is involved with. So, what is the organization? What do you guys do?
So, we started in 2003, but I don't think a lot of people really knew about us until about 3-4 years ago. We are present for not only the Pakistani community, but for anyone else who's interested in our culture. And it's just a way for either local students to get to know our culture better, or for students who are from Pakistan and just, like, miss home. We have a lot of social, cultural events as well as academic events. And I actually wanted to talk about one of our main academic events that we have on an annual basis called Destination South Asia.
Cool.
We started it in 2011. We started in 2012. My bad. Our first conference was in 2012, and we've had 2 so far. And we're planning our 3rd, which is going to take place next year in March on the 22nd.
Nice.
It basically started because we felt that a lot of cultural clubs were only concentrating on social events, and we mm-hmm. really wanted to bring out the academic aspect.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Especially concerning South Asia, we felt like there was no representation when it came to any issues that they faced or anything academically related.
Nice.
So I was part of the executive team when we started the conference, and our vice president actually came up with the idea of having a conference, and we all just came together and made it into something big.
Cool.
And so last year I was the president, and along with my vice president, Rabia Shah, we really tried to up it a little bit more, and
nice.
Hopefully it was a little better than the last time when we had more of an attendance.
Yeah.
But it's just a great conference where we have different keynote speakers. This year in 2012, we had a musical, like a classical performance in the beginning of our conference. And Our keynote speaker was Thomas Hunter, who is a really amazing prof in the Asian Studies department, and he concentrates a lot on Indian courses, but it was really great. And we have four concurrent sessions relating to different streams. You know, if anyone's interested in fine arts, we have like that stream going, so we'll have a little bit, we had talks about poetry, or if anyone's interested in more social issues or health issues, we had a lot of talks about those as well. So it's just, you know, you can attend the conference and attend whatever you're more interested in. You don't mm-hmm. have to attend certain sessions.
For sure.
And in between, we had really fun workshops. Like, we had a dance workshop. So if you really want to learn, like, Bhangra, which is a Punjabi dance, dance, we had that as well.
Yeah.
And we have language workshops if you want to learn a little bit more about South Asian languages. So,
wow, that's awesome.
It's a really cool conference, and we have a lot of food. So
always coming back to the food. Yeah. No, that's that sounds like it. It's like a very you can go and get a very wide range of different experiences in one place, which is nice. How can people find more out about the association and the conference in general?
So we have a Facebook page. If you just write Destination South Asia, it'll come up. We have a Twitter page.
And
our handle is at UBCDSA.
Cool.
And we have a website for the UBC Pakistan Students Association, mm-hmm. in which we have a little bit information about the conference, but we're currently working on having a separate website just for the conference so we can focus more on the conference
just
itself.
On the conference. Nice. That's awesome. So for people looking to get involved, they can look you up on Facebook.
For sure. If anyone like wants to get involved, they can message Destination South Asia on Facebook and I'll get back to them ASAP.
Cool.
Because we'll be looking for new team members and we definitely need a lot of volunteers on the day off. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Conferences are not an easy thing to plan.
No.
I've never done it, but I can. The amount of event planning that I have done leads me to imagine that it would be a lot of work. It's always good to have as many hands on deck as possible. That's really fantastic. How long have you been involved with the organization?
Since 2011, so like it's been 2-3 years, my third year, but I'm not on the executive team anymore. I'm just
just helping out.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be one of the lead coordinators of the conference.
Cool, that's awesome. Yeah, another way to personalize your experience at UBC, get a little bit more connected. That's really fantastic. Okay, so I also forgot to mention before we started chatting about Pakistan Student Association, the tracks that you listened to in the little gap there, the first one was called Holy War, and that's by Hooves, a local Vancouver band that are really fantastic. You should check them out, Facebook, Bandcamp. And then after that, it was the song Diamond by Lightning Dust, another Vancouver-originating band, I should say. That's off of the album Fantasy. The artist is Lightning Dust, and that came out in June. So they just played a show here at the Biltmore, so check them out if you liked those. Moving right along with the theme of student power and UBC clubs and people doing good things here on campus and for the greater community and the world, I guess, we are joined by Benjamin and Karen from the UBC Intercultural Alliance. Thanks for coming in today, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure. So do you want to tell everybody about the UBC Intercultural Alliance?
Yeah, so the UBC Intercultural Alliance was founded just this past summer.
Nice.
We're not a club, but rather an alliance of cultural clubs. With over 30,000 domestic students and over 7,000 international students from over 149 different countries at UBC, our campus is in itself a true global village. However, most of our students socialize in cultural silos, so this has created a very segregated student population.
For sure.
So we were created with the aim of using cultural clubs because most students at UBC identify with at least one cultural club.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was we get all these cultural clubs under our umbrella organization, and then we work with them to host cross-cultural events, and this would create the opportunity for students to have cross-cultural interactions and cross-cultural experiences. And we would create these experiences in three ways. Cross-cultural events hosted by our member clubs, intercultural dialogues, which will be hosted in February, so we'll host three of those. The first topic is, what is interculturalism and why is it important? The second one is, what is home? Because most students at UBC have lived in multiple cities, so how do you identify which city is your home?
For sure.
Or even students who have grown up in Canada or the U.S., but they identify with a different culture rather than Canadian culture.
Definitely.
What would they consider to be home? And the third way is an intercultural fair. So that would be just a big celebration of all the different cultures on campus, and all of our cultural clubs would be able to showcase their different cultures in whichever way they would like. And I can pass it on to Ben now, and he can talk more about the club experience and the club aspect.
Cool.
If clubs are interested in joining, there's three steps that they have to do to maintain membership within our alliance. The first is hosting at least another event with another cultural club. And after that event, a club exec will write a reflective blog post about the experience and the cross-cultural opportunities that were had at the event. And lastly is participation in the UBCIA Intercultural Fair that Karen mentioned earlier. And this is all in an effort to streamline communication between cultural clubs and foster cross-cultural friendships and experiences so that we can learn from one another.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome.
So since September 20th, we have recruited 14 cultural clubs to our alliance.
Nice.
And we are in talks with further like 7 or 8.
Cool.
So we're hoping by next semester to be over 20 clubs.
Nice.
We'll have a really strong and diverse presence at the fair. And just to give an example of the types of experiences or opportunities that we're trying to create, I'll let Ben share his story, and then I'll share my own.
So first year I came in, and one of my friends invited me to an African Awareness Initiative event.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from Tennessee, so I don't really know anything about Africa, but I still went. And I just had a great time with all the people. And by the end of the year, I ended up running for the executive team. And
nice.
I learned so much about Africa's complexity and diversity as a continent that I just had no idea growing up in the States about. And also, members in the club learned a little bit about the Southern United States as well. So this was a great way to have cultural exchanges that most students don't get to have.
Definitely.
And it's just by stepping outside of the box and going to, you know, a different culture's event. And from there, you know, you can create so many friendships.
Totally, totally. And good ones that where you can learn something.
Exactly.
Just like nice, you know, learn something from your friends. It's always good.
Yeah. So similarly with myself, and I'm of South Asian descent, but I grew up in a small town in northern Canada. And in my first year at UBC, one of the first friends I made, her name was Aisha, and she's from Bermuda. And in our second year, she became an exec for the Caribbean African Association. And she kept pressuring me to come out to their events. And I was very reluctant, nervous. I felt like I had no place being at a Caribbean African Association event.
Totally.
Because I knew nothing about their cultures. I only had one friend from the Caribbean. Didn't know anyone from Africa. So finally I decided, okay, I'll just go support my friend, show my face for 20 minutes. but I ended up staying the entire event, falling in love with the people, the culture, the food, everything. And now I'm in my fourth year at UBC, and most of my closest friends are from East Africa. And I've been able to learn in this time so much about their culture and their country that I'm able to transcend my own cultural identity and take on theirs and understand the world through their perspective. To the point that many East Africans, when they first meet me, think I'm from Kenya. So these
that's
are the,
hilarious.
And that's what creates a global citizen, right? So these are the types of experience and opportunities we want to create for students at UBC.
Yeah, no, that's really fantastic. I think you touched on a very true point, which is that it's easy for students to feel like if that's not where they're from, or if they don't have any previous knowledge about the area, like that they don't have a place there, or people will think it's weird that they're going. But I think that that's even more of a reason to go, to learn something new, right?
Yeah, so. We're only at university for 4 years, and we'll never get to have these types of experiences anywhere else.
Exactly.
So it's a time to get out of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
And we're all in the same situation.
Yeah.
We all want to learn from each other, but we're maybe kind of afraid.
Nervous about it.
We need to understand that everyone's willing to have this cultural exchange. You just have to be the first one to
exactly,
ask questions.
Exactly, yeah. That was one of the, I'm from like a smaller town in BC myself, and that was one of the most awesome things about that I realized when I first came to UBC. Like, never before had I been surrounded by so many different people from so many different places, right? And you can learn so much about a place from talking to somebody who's actually, like, lived there or been there, you know? Just
yeah, exactly.
Through becoming their friend. You know, you haven't even been to this place, but yet you feel this connection to it. So
yeah.
That's really fantastic. So do you want to give a little bit more information about the fair? Like, the dates or, like, getting involved or anything like that? Or
we're currently in the planning process for cool. the fair. So we'll be near the end of March is what we're cool. looking at. More information will be available in January.
Awesome.
Same with our intercultural dialogues. I think first event will be near the end of January. Then the second one will be before reading break and the third one after reading break. And more information will also be available beginning of January on those events.
Awesome.
You can find us on Facebook, so just facebook.com/UBCIA, or you can check out our website at www.ubcia.com.
Cool. That's fantastic. Nurse, are you on the involved in that? She is. She's not on the mic right now, but it's a very, very involved student. That's fantastic. It's so good to see. Okay, was there anything else that you guys wanted to add before we kind of get, we're just coming up to the end of the hour here. This is 24 Hours of Student Power on CITR. There's going to be a whole lot of other UBC clubs and organizations and just students doing programming on the airways today, so please stay tuned in. Thank you so much for joining me, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get to the next group, I don't know if they're here yet, why don't we listen to a track by another Canadian artist. This is Jay Arner from his self-titled album, and this song is called Midnight on South Granville. Enjoy!
We'll be right back.
right. That brings us to the end of my first hour on CITR 101.9 FM's 24 Hours of Student Power. My name is Eleanor. I will be back again at 1:30 with a couple friends playing some live music in the studio. Should be good. I also host the Student Special Hour every Tuesday from 1 to 2, so you should tune into that. The track that you just listened to is off of the Arts and Crafts compilation. It was